History Interview with Mona Sutbrock. It is September 1st, 2005. And, well, all right, so we're interviewing Mona Sutbrock, and could you tell me your full name, please?
Mona Maxine Miller Sutbrock.
And when and where were you born?
Stanfield, Oregon, on February the 7th, 1924.
You lived in Stanfield, but you've basically been in LeGrand all your life, for the most part.
I was in Stanfield only 2 years.
Right. What took your parents to Stanfield, do you know?
Farming.
Is that
a
right?
A job farming, yes.
Uh-huh. And then, what brought them back to LeGrand? For the area, I should say.
I think probably because his mother lived here. My father's mother.
Mm-hmm. Now, what did your father was a farmer? Did he do anything else?
He worked for when he came back from LeGrand, he worked for Mount Emily Lumber Company.
Was that the only job he held?
Until he started farming again for Grover Grumman.
Uh-huh. And then how long did he do that?
Must have been about 9 years.
What did he do after that?
He worked for California Pacific Utilities as a meter reader.
And did he
retired from
he retired from that job?
Yes.
Did your mother have employment, or was she a homemaker?
No, she was a homemaker.
Uh-huh. And where did you live when you came back to LeGrand? You said you were about 2 years old when you returned to LeGrand, which would have been about 1926.
Well, we rented a house first on 6th Street and then later bought a house on Washington that we're not able to finish paying for, so.
What happened there?
Well, they phased out a lot of them in at the mill because of the Depression. And so my dad was laid off. And that's when we went out to the farm, started working for Grover Grumman.
They couldn't pay off the house because of the Depression and losing the job,
mm-hmm.
and all of that.
No
now,
income.
Where was this place with Grover Grumman located?
It's on Sandridge Road, a little bit north of the Conley warehouses.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about this house that you lived in.
A big old farmhouse, two-story, had two bedrooms downstairs, three bedrooms upstairs with a big attic, just one bathroom, and a huge big kitchen with a pantry, porches all the way around.
A wraparound porch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And a balcony porch up above, the second floor.
How was that house heated?
An oil stove. And kitchen range, of course.
How long did you live there?
I think it must have been about 9 years.
Mm-hmm. When you lived out there, where did you go to school?
Started at Alisal and went there 1 year and then changed to Elyria.
Now, tell me about Alisal School. What you remember of that. Was that a one-room schoolhouse?
Yes, it was one room.
Uh-huh. Do you remember who your teacher was then? I believe I read here that your parents didn't like the teacher. I was wondering if you might want to tell us about that. Do you know?
I really don't know why.
Uh-huh.
But for some reason they didn't. His name was Scott Button. But why they didn't like him, I really don't know.
That was your teacher, Scott
mm-hmm.
Button?
Mm-hmm.
So you went there about 1 year?
Yes.
Well, maybe first, no, you weren't in,
were I went
in first
grade there.
Uh-huh. Then where did you transfer to?
To Valeria School.
And that was another one-room schoolhouse?
Mm, yes, it was.
Tell me about that.
Well, just one big room with desks and a big wood stove in the center of the building. Building.
What grades were taught there?
1 through 8.
And did you go clear to 8th? No, you didn't go to 8th grade.
I moved to LeGrand when we were in the 7th grade, when I was in the 7th grade.
Uh-huh. So let's talk about that school then. It was a one-room schoolhouse. Did you say it was heated with a wood stove?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember some of your teachers?
Yes. Edna Turner and Mary Cale, the two of the main teachers that I remember.
Uh-huh. Now, did they change teachers? Is that why there were two that you remember?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mary Cale first and then Edna Turner later.
What were they like? How did they manage their classroom? What do you remember?
Fairly strict teacher, I would say, which they definitely were those days. But we all knew that we had to mind the teacher and be quiet in the school.
Right.
If you didn't, you were in trouble at home.
Word would get home?
Yes.
About that? How far was it to get to this school from home?
It was 2.5 miles.
No bus?
No bus.
Uh-huh.
No. We, part of the time, had a horse to ride when a neighbor wanted to board a horse for a while. As we didn't have any riding horses on the place at all, they were all work horses. But when we had the horse, would only let one person, or two people ride at a time, and there were three of us, so one of we older ones had to walk one way a day.
Take turns.
We had to take turns.
Because there were three of you that went?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What was your school day like? Tell us about it. When did it start? How would it work?
I think we started at 8. I'm not sure. And probably we were out at 4. I can't remember for sure. But
how did the class day go? Well, how would it work with one teacher being there?
Well, we were just each one assigned our studies for the day. And the teacher would help us when we needed help.
About how many students did they have when you went?
I imagine there were about 12 or 14 of us. We had a very big school.
Did every grade have a student in it, or did they have gaps at times?
I'm sure there were gaps at times. I'm not sure about that.
I see. Did you have duties? Or responsibilities in the classroom?
I don't remember.
Did boys have to pack wood or water?
I'm sure they did,
did it have running water?
No.
Uh-huh. Did you have a well to get water?
Yes, we had a well.
Water in?
We had a well.
Mm-hmm. And you went there until you were in grade 7.
Right.
Uh-huh. And then what happened?
And I finished finished school at Greenwood. And in the 8th grade, we were at the middle school, which was the old Central School.
I see. And did you go to high school here in LeGrand?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
4 years in the
All four
old
years.
Building.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. When did you graduate?
In 1942.
So you've been there from about 1938 to 1942.
That's
what was it like in high school then? Can you tell me about it, what you remember, some of the things you did?
We had different activities like home economics. We had, hard to remember all these things. A girls' club that we took part in. I was in the glee club in the a cappella choir. I don't know what you need to know on this.
I'm
exactly.
Just asking things that you might remember. Who were some of your friends?
Do you want names?
Well, only if you know, just some of your closest friends maybe that you ran around with quite a bit, because in your written history, you've named a lot of people that you seem to have spent lots of time with over the years.
My four closest girlfriends were Arlene Krause, Marion Snyder, Frances Pyle, and the boys were George Fleshman, and Virgil Sedbrock, Bruce Bray, and we were all from, except for Bruce, we were all from the same church. So our activities were church activities a lot of the time too.
Now, if I read this right, pretty much the majority of your friends and your social contacts all through school, except maybe out in the country, were church related.
Yes.
What church was that you all attended?
First Christian Church. First Christian in Grand.
And you say George Fleshman was one of your friends during the...
In fact, I called George Fleshman my brother because his family and my family were very close all through the years. And I just feel like it's almost a part of my family.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've known him quite a long time.
All my life, since I was first moved to La Grande.
Right. Now, where did you live when you moved back to La Grande?
We lived on Washington.
Uh-huh. Did you finish school in that house?
No, because that's when we moved to the farm.
You moved back up to the farm?
After we were on Washington, then we moved to Sandage Road.
Did, but you finished out at La Grande High School, so how did you get to town then?
Well, we moved to U Avenue then when we moved back to La Grande. Mm-hmm. And then later on Epping Lane, and then on to 2nd, and finally my folks bought a house on Hall Street. And that's where actually I was living when I went to high school.
I see.
It was on Hall.
Now I read in your history here that you, your future husband was the guy who had the car.
Mm-hmm.
So...
The only one that had a car.
The only one, period, that had a car.
That I ran around with, yes.
Now, were you dating him originally when you would start to socialize with the car?
No.
And I hear...
It was just a group of friends together.
It was just a group, a social group.
None paired off at all.
I see.
To begin with.
Now, what kind of a car was that?
Well, to begin with, it was Model A Ford, and then later a Model T. I think it was Model T, and later we had a Dodge, an old Dodge.
Was that a car that you had to crank to start?
I think so, yes. I'm not sure.
Where would you go when you were? First of all, can you remember who the group, some of the people were that you would pile into the car with and go?
Well, the ones that I've already mentioned.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes my sister Betty and her friend Ruby June Pyle would go with us. Whoever might be available to go.
And want to go.
And sometimes there's quite a group of us.
I read that sometimes 9 or more people in that car, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Where would you go? What kind of things would you do?
Well, we always liked to drag Main, as we called it, only it was Adams Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And just driving around.
Tell me about dragging that Main. Was that a common activity?
Yes, it was.
Time?
Mm-hmm.
And
always fun.
What would you do? Would you just drive from one end to the other?
Yes. And we'd occasionally go to the movies, and we'd sometimes go to Cove swimming, mm-hmm. swimming pool in Cove, and just different activities.
Any adventures while you were on any of those activities?
Well, I remember one night when, I think that was after graduation, we drove out to Cove early in the morning, and George Fleshman wanted to drive the car.
Uh-huh.
And he did, but he went in the ditch.
He did.
And at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, we had to walk to one of the neighbors and call my husband, soon-to-be husband's dad, and tell him we had a problem. And he was the wrecker driver for Perkins Motor Company, so he came out and pulled us out.
Your future father-in-law, you
mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was a long time before he knew that George was driving, because that was a no-no.
Oh, he wasn't supposed to be driving?
No, no one was supposed to drive it but Virgil.
And so Virgil had kind of
covered up for George
a little bit. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so you've been out the night before, and you were out late?
It's our, I think it was the prom, probably.
I see.
It was either that or graduation night. I can't remember. Anyway, that was one of our misadventures.
Uh-huh. Now, what was the, when you used to like to run up and down on Main or Adams Avenue, where were the end spots then?
Well, the Poli Hotel was where the annex part of it is now. Well, there was a Poli Hotel across the street too. And then the Sacagawea Hotel was on the other corner. That was kind of the business district at that time.
Was that in one end of the, would that have been
so
one end?
So it would have been from
the,
about 4th to Fur, or just the next street down Greenwood.
Were there places for you when you were young people to stop and eat, or what places were there then for you?
Wright's Drugstore was our big hangout. They had a little lunch counter and a soda fountain. And also later, Moon Drug Store also had lunch counter.
Now, where was Wright's Drug Store?
It was in the middle of the block where Domino's and the police station in that area.
Mm-hmm. And how about the other place that you mentioned?
It was, Moon Drug was where Clausen's is now.
I see.
On that corner.
Were there any other places for you to go along Adams that young people could go to then?
Well, we attended the theaters. Mm-hmm. There was the Liberty and the Granada theaters at that time.
The State Theater wasn't there then?
Yes, in the State Theater.
And
there were
the
three.
State Theater too. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Any other places that you would go along there?
Well, after we started dating, we liked to go to China Mary's, which was a Chinese restaurant. That was, the building isn't there now. It was where, right along where the Wells Fargo Bank is now.
That was a Chinese restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Do you have any dancing?
My family didn't dance. We were allowed to go to school dances after we got in high school, but that was it.
When
there was a Zuber Hall where some of them did go. We also had a skating rink.
Where was
that?
That
was on, it was on Washington, kind of behind, I think, where the Sacagawea Annex is now.
Did you ever go to Zuber Hall?
No.
No. So you didn't
dance? I went
dance.
To the skating rink, but I didn't go to the...
I see.
No.
Okay. Now, your soon-to-be husband, Virgil Sudbrock Jr., where did you meet him? When did you first know him?
When they first moved to La Grande, they started coming to First Christian Church.
Did you say he was
10
about
years 10? Old. We were
uh-huh.
both 10.
And that's where you first knew him?
Mm-hmm.
And then you always knew him after that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. When did you two begin to date seriously?
When we were juniors in high school.
And how long did you date him before you married him?
The last 2 years of high school and 1 year after school, after we graduated.
Where did you get married?
In La Grande.
At the First Christian Church.
At First Christian Church.
Where was that located then?
It was on the corner of 7th and Pennsylvania.
Is that building still there?
No, it is not.
Uh-huh. And when did you get married?
July the 10th, 1943.
Did you go on a big honeymoon or have big plans?
No. We went to Portland and stayed overnight. Well, we went to Pinecone the night we were married, which was just a little service station swimming pool area outside of the Grand where the truck stop now is. And that was our first night, and then we went on to Portland and stayed in a hotel one night, and then went to Vancouver because he was working at the shipyards in Vancouver at that time.
I've missed some things I want to go back and ask about here. I would like to return a little bit to your earlier days where you were living out on that farm.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about that your mother had made a lot of your clothes.
Yes.
Out of, looks like out of flour sacks.
Some of it, yes. The flour sacks were printed usually with a nice pattern. Some of them would be plain, and those were used for dish towels. But the printed flour sacks were made into clothing. Make dresses, aprons, skirts, whatever.
Was that a common?
Yes, it was.
A common thing that people did.
Yes.
At that time. Talks about some of them were embroidered with the days of the week.
Well, my mother did in the embroidery.
Oh, she did?
Yes.
Oh, I see. When was laundry day?
Monday. Always,
you know,
Monday.
Do you know why that was?
It was just a routine.
Mm-hmm.
Usually wash on Monday and iron on Tuesday. And I had a pattern for the week.
Now, did you continue that pattern when you became an adult and
no, I didn't.
Uh-huh.
Especially after I started working, I just did it whenever it was most convenient.
But it was Monday, it was wash day.
Mm-hmm. Back then it was.
Now you mentioned that, and I imagine that it was tough times during the Depression there, that it looks like you had to make a lot of your own play activities and things like that. I was reading that you made paper dolls out of the Ward's catalog.
Yes, we cut paper dolls out of the catalog.
And did you have dolls to put those on, or did you cut the dolls out also?
No, we cut the figures out of the catalog, and that was our dolls.
Oh, I see. Did where'd you get the clothing? Did you cut those out of the catalog,
yes,
too? Everything was cut out of the catalog. Was it,
yes,
already pre...
they were dressed figures out of the catalog.
I see.
And we pretended they were our paper dolls.
Uh-huh. You mentioned that you especially liked this game, Uncle Wiggily. Can you tell,
yes,
me about that game?
Well, I don't know how to describe it exactly, but it was a board game that we had men that moved, and I think we shook dice to get the amount of spaces we'd move.
And what was the object in the long run?
To get to a certain point on the board.
I see. And what made that fun?
Because it was one of the few games we had, I guess, as much as anything.
Uh-huh. Was that a popular game with others?
Yes, it was.
It was a common game that people,
mm-hmm,
played. Would that have been in the same vein, say, as Monopoly or,
yes,
or something like
and
that?
And we did play Monopoly, too.
You did have Monopoly?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Uncle Wiggily, was there money involved, or you shook,
no,
dice and just tried to move,
no,
around the board
money
and get to the end first?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Of course, there were obstacles like there are on board games.
There were always what?
Obstacles that if you lit on a certain place, you had to do something else and all of that.
What might that be?
I can't remember.
Okay.
It's been too long ago.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
But we all three of us loved to read. And we did have a mobile unit that came out to the schools or in the summer and to the homes and brought books
would it
out
actually
from the
come
library.
To your house then?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And we got to take out books every week. Of course, return them in the next week. And so we did lots of reading. Really enjoyed that.
And they would come out weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as long as we backtrack, let's talk about getting to school in the winter. That could be pretty tough with the snow. And
it was. And sometimes when the snow was really bad, our dad would take us in the sled with the horses. But occasionally we'd go in the car, but most of the time we did walk.
Now when your dad took you on the sled with the horses, Did that hold everybody? Was that a large sled?
Yes, it was.
I see. One that you could actually, like a passenger sled.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Could it get really bad?
Yes, no. There were some very bad winters.
You talked about being able to walk right over the top of the fences.
Yes, the snow was very deep at times. It wasn't that way every year, but we did have some rather bad years.
How would you keep warm at home? I think I read that your bedroom wasn't heated.
No, it wasn't.
Uh-huh.
We kept the doors closed daytime, of course, to keep the heat in the living room and into the kitchen. That was the two rooms that were heated during
the day.
How
would your mother help you stay warm?
Well, sometimes if it was really, really cold, she would heat flat irons on the stove, the old flat irons they were using at that time, and wrap them in rags and put them in the foot of our bed to keep us warm. And we had feather beds.
That helped also.
Mm-hmm.
So did you, were your parents, your mother using a, was she using a wood stove for
yes.
cooking?
Yes.
A wooden stove oven, I think, or?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A big wood range.
Did you learn how to cook on that?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Well, I prefer the electric, of course. But when I first got married, I did have a wood stove because in wartime you couldn't get electrical appliances. So it was sometime after the war before we were able to get a wood stove, an electric stove.
Were you proficient at using a wood stove, or did it cause you problems? Or?
Well, I guess I learned to use it reasonably well.
You remember getting your first electric range?
Yes, I do.
Was that exciting?
Yes, it was.
Uh-huh. What did you like about it?
Well, the ease of using. No wood to stoke in the fire or any of that.
Was it as easy to, well, did you find it easier or more difficult to account for the temperature range?
Oh, it was
like
so
that?
Much better.
Uh-huh.
Wood range, it's hard to get it exact.
And you've talked about some childhood diseases. I'd like you to tell me about the business with scarlet fever.
Well, scarlet fever is just a strep infection, and sometimes it causes you to break out in a rash. And I had been in the hospital from a mastoid operation, and how I got the scarlet fever, I really don't know, but we were quarantined because at that time they thought it was very, very contagious and had no way of treating it like they do now. Now they just treat it with penicillin or an antibiotic.
Were you isolated during
yes.
that time? Now, was this at home that you were isolated?
To begin with, I was in the hospital when I got it, and they had a house across from the hospital where they would send you if you had a disease of any kind, a communicable disease. And so I was transferred across there, and then when I was able to go home, mother and I were quarantined. It had a sign on the door, no one could go in or out.
Now, when you were in this house across from the hospital, were they all of the same disease, or were you segregated?
We were segregated, I guess. I was only four, so I don't remember that much about it.
I see. And then I assume it was the doctor who issued the quarantine order.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, did that happen to you again down the road? Did you have another one here in front of?
Well, I had measles really, really hard.
The old-fashioned measles. Did you have to stay isolated during that time?
We did, yes.
Was that you and your mother again?
My mother and my sisters had it too.
Oh, they did?
All of us.
Uh-huh. So
and my dad took care of us, and then when we got whooping cough, which was quite prevalent then, and dad got whooping cough with us, and mother didn't, so.
Huh. Now, did your mother get the measles when you had the measles?
No, but my
dad?
Yes, mother did, but dad didn't.
Oh, I see.
And then so the whooping cough, they traded.
So they traded up what they got and didn't
right.
get. Uh-huh. Did one, when your mother got the measles, did your dad have to leave?
No, he was there.
He just
but he didn't
get
make
it.
Them.
Uh-huh.
When but we were confined to our home as far as visitors coming in.
I see. Uh-huh.
They aren't that particular about it anymore.
Not at all, are they?
Mm-hmm. Of course, there are shots for all of these things now.
Now, you said that you... you fell off a ladder. Do you remember what you had to go through after you fell off the ladder? Because there were no tetanus shots in those
no,
days.
No, there weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother just got a big pan of vinegar and had me kneel down. It was on the side of my knee. And kneel down with the wound in the vinegar. And each time it would get real bloody whether she would change it. And I never had any infection or any problem with it at all. It healed right up.
Was that a cut that today was... It's September 1st, 2005, and we're still interviewing Mona Sedbrock. So, you wouldn't have gone to the doctor at that time unless it was very, very serious over the...
It was 8 miles to LeGrand.
And
doctors didn't come out there unless it was a really very, very serious...
Do you remember how your mother treated that wound? Did she just wrap it and keep it
yes.
closed tight?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Let's talk more about your church and your church activities, because that was such a central part, I assume it's still such a central part of your life.
Yes, it is.
Do you have memories of your early days attending the First Christian Church?
Yes, I do.
What was that about? What was that like?
Well, that was the main activity in our lives, except for school. That was our social life, was through our church.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of things were you involved in at the church when you were young?
Youth groups. Sunday school to begin with, and then youth groups.
Now, you had lots of friends from church.
Yes, I did.
And
all of my best friends were from First Christian Church.
Did you socialize at each other's homes on Sundays?
Yes,
or,
we did.
Or have meals? Tell me about that.
We had potluck. We had company or went to someone's house nearly every Sunday.
And was this common within the church?
Yes, it was.
To move around from home to home on mm-hmm. that day?
Of course, there were special families that you were with the most, such as the Fleshmans.
Your brother George's family?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Were there other families you can remember that you also did lots of
yes,
visiting with?
Yes, quite a few. The Smoots, D. Smoots, Charlie Smoots. Stop and think on that one. There were a lot of church families, though, that we... Vernon and Lois DeLong, and Lois DeLong is still living. She'd be a good one to interview if she can remember, but not sure she can that much. No.
Is that the mother of
Dale DeLong?
DeLong, the mayor of Island City?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You've got a nice list of some of the pastors
yes.
from this church. Let me find that. Yes, you've got quite a list. You've remembered
yes.
a lot of the pastors or ministers that you had at this church. Tell us about Mr. Putnam. What do you remember about him?
That is far enough back that I don't really remember too much about him.
That would have been when you were very young.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But you do remember there was.
We have pictures at the church too. Of some of them, so,
uh-huh.
or most of them.
How about Mr. Mortimer?
Yes, that was more in my time. And he had two daughters, I remember, that we were friends with through our church.
Were they your age, his daughters?
One was close to my age, yes.
He wasn't with the, how long was he there, a significant amount of time?
Quite a long time. I'd have to look at the dates, but yeah. I'm not sure.
How about Mr. Titus?
Yes, I remember him too, and he had a family too. They were in the old church.
On 7th and Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Gene Robinson, now this is a name that we've discussed on another interview with another church member here.
Yes.
What do you remember of him?
Very outgoing, very active in the community, and could remember everyone's name. If he met you, he knew you. A very friendly, outgoing person.
Now was Mr. Robinson, was he with the church when the new building was built?
Yes, he was.
He was at the pulpit then.
He's the one that really got the building fund going so that we were able to build our educational unit and then later the sanctuary.
Mm-hmm. How about this Gene Chamberlain?
He was there a very brief time, probably a year and a half or maybe 2 years, just a very short time.
Arthur Stanley.
Arthur Stanley is the minister that married my husband and I. He's deceased now, he and his wife both. But they were able to come to our 50th wedding anniversary party.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, how nice. Wallace Hastings.
Yes. In fact, they lived right next door to us at 1806 Walnut, where we lived at that time. So we were quite good friends with them, and I still correspond with Wally's wife. He is deceased.
Were they here a long time?
No, not very many years.
Mm-hmm. How about Gordon Mildrum?
Gordon Mildrum is the one that I worked for in the church office for quite a number of years.
He was here a while then.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Hart?
Yes, Jack was here 15 years. He now lives in Kennewick. He's retired from the ministry.
Mm-hmm. Scott Pricer.
Scott now lives in Sun City, California, and has a big church there, Christian church.
Was he here a long time?
Several years.
And then the last one, which is the present, Mark Schlesman?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. He came from the Midwest and a much younger man than we'd had sometimes, and very outgoing. You know, he has taught school and also has done lots of counseling.
Let's talk about your employment. Now you began, I think, was it your first, I know you worked a little bit part-time while your husband was in the service, but in terms of in your regular married life post-war, it looks like you began working with First Christian Church. What did you do for them?
I was secretary in the office.
And what did that involve?
Well, we put out a weekly newsletter. And we also did the bulletin for Sunday and whatever else needed to be typed up for them.
Did you compose church. Any of this, or did you just type up somebody else's work for the most?
Well, some of it was somebody else's work, but of course I know and compiled it and put it together.
Uh-huh.
Like an editor.
I see. What other duties did you have?
Whatever was necessary in the church office. Answering the phone, definitely.
Mm-hmm. How long did you do that? Looks like you thought you started about 1965.
Must have been, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just sure how long I was there until after Gordon Mildrum left. And then we had interim ministers I worked for one of the interns for a short time before I went full-time for Dr. Rose.
Let's talk about Dr. Rose. How did that come about?
Well, he was a member of our church, and one of his gals that worked for him had cancer and was off work for a period of time. So I was filling in for her, but it came to where she wasn't going to be able to come back. So then he asked if I wanted to come full-time. So I started working full-time and quit the church job.
And what was your job with Dr. Rose?
I was the receptionist bookkeeper.
And what were the duties? What was some of the routine?
Well, the phone and the window.
Right.
When anybody came, and of course the bookkeeping, self-explanatory.
So in terms of bookkeeping, are we talking about customer accounts, people
yes.
who would pay their bills?
Yes.
And so you would make entries on that?
Mm-hmm. I did the banking and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Did you pay the bills for the practice too?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
With the checks, of course, the doctor signed them.
Right. What sort of practice did Dr. Rose have?
He was a general practitioner.
I see. And how long did you work for him? Did you enjoy it?
Yes, I did very much.
Uh-huh.
Had very nice people to work with.
What became of that? What happened next?
Well, I retired finally because I was having a very bad time with my knee and needed a knee replacement. And I felt that it wasn't really fair to take a long period of time off. Knee replacements were not as easy then as they are now. And it took quite a while to get over. So I quit, supposedly retired. Only later I took another job, so.
Yeah, so how did that come about?
Well, one of the girls that worked for Dr. Hicks, who was a pediatrician, was going to have a baby, and she needed some time off until after the baby was born. So I filled in for her in the office.
What doctor was that now?
Dr. Frances Hicks.
And what was her practice?
She was a pediatrician.
And tell us about that. Was that the same sort of
just,
duties?
Yes, general office duties.
Uh-huh. Now, were there any exciting moments in either of those jobs that maybe everybody became involved in from time to time? Or?
Well, I remember one in Dr. Rose's office when one of the patients died in the waiting room, which was something that we didn't want to happen, but and there were other times when someone died shortly after being taken to the hospital, one thing or another.
Well, let's not mention any names, but can we talk a minute about the person who died in the waiting room?
I really don't remember what was wrong now.
But
it's been too long ago.
Were they brought in by somebody else?
And yes, I'm sure they were.
And it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how long did you do these jobs? Now, you were with Dr. Hicks last,
mm-hmm.
right? And you worked up until June of 1986?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
then I retired for sure.
And you retired for good.
Uh-huh.
And you haven't fallen for a job?
No, I haven't.
Nobody's talked
about
it.
Only just some volunteer things.
Uh-huh. Let's talk about your church activities, because you've got a long list of things that you've done for the First Christian Church. You've been a Sunday school teacher.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I was in the nursery for a lot of years. I loved the little ones, so I spent a lot of time in the nursery. I think I have taught some of the other grades, but I don't remember exactly which ones now.
What things would you do, what kind of lessons or things would be presented in the nursery?
Really not anything. It was mainly babysitting.
Was it?
Because it was small children.
Uh-huh.
Babies.
Like, say, toddlers or
mm-hmm.
smaller?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Then it says that you were a youth leader. What is that?
Well, we have a leader that oversees the group that for our, this Christian Endeavor at that time is what we called our youth group. Now it's Christian Youth Fellowship.
And
CYF.
Who is that made up of? What age is there?
The CYF and Christian Youth Fellowship are high school age.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And what sort of things would you do if they're a youth leader with them?
Well, we had a little, it's just my clock. It's going to do it two or three times here.
I think it's an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Okay, so we're talking about the youth leaders.
Yes.
They're made up of high school kids.
We had always had a devotion of some kind, and usually refreshments. And quite often we had extra activities. We'd play games or have some kind of activities to keep us busy and happy.
Now, the youth leader, are we talking about this took place on Sundays during their Sunday school, or was this a different time of the week?
I think it was Wednesday night that time. I can't remember for sure when or yet, to tell you the truth. It must have been Saturday or Sunday during school, because especially when we lived out on the farm. I wasn't in the youth group at that time, though. It was after we moved to LeGrand, so I can't remember for sure when we met now. Have to ask George, maybe he'd remember.
There is no telling what George remembers.
Yeah.
He remembers a lot.
Yes, he does.
You said you were also a deaconess.
Yes.
What
we prepared the communion for Sundays. Our church serves communion every Sunday. We prepared the trays for that, and then we had to wash the cups and everything afterwards. Now they have to put disposable, but at that time we did wash the cups, and we use them the next week. And we were in charge of flowers, any other duties, and we helped to serve them. Sometimes you helped to serve the communion, although most of the time then it was men, the deacons, served the communion. Now there are women that serve too.
How do you become a deaconess?
You're elected.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And how long do you serve?
2 years at a time. When you're off a year, then they can re-elect you if you want to go back.
So when you're elected, you have to take a one-year break after your term of service.
Yes.
Before you can be
mm-hmm.
chosen again.
You can take a different office, but not as a deaconess.
How many times have you done that, you know? Have you done that multiple times?
Yes, several times.
Uh-huh. Now, I think you told me you're now a deaconess emeritus.
No, I'm an elder emeritus.
Oh, okay. Well, let's move to...
I was elected as an elder.
Okay.
In later years.
Let's move to the elder then. What does an elder do, and how do you become one?
Well, we had shepherding groups for one thing. We were assigned a certain number of people from our church that we were to kind of keep track of, and if they had problems or anything, to help out in any way that we could. Plus, we served at the table for communion each Sunday, two elders each Sunday, and there were 12 elders, I think, on the list each time.
And did you parcel those people out that you were shepherding? On there, did you take some and somebody else
yes,
took a few?
Yes, they were divided up among the
uh-huh.
church membership.
Do elders have meetings or
yes, we
obligations?
Do. Meet once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of plan what we're doing and any problems that come up or anything.
I'm just guessing, did you report to the minister?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And so really you were kind of a helper for him to make sure that everybody got attended and
mm-hmm.
you were taking care of your own.
Trying to.
Mm-hmm. Now how do you get emeritus status when you're an elder?
When you get older and not able to do the things as well, my hands are weaker than they used to be, and handling the heavy trays and things is not as easy for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And after you've been in the church a lot of years, you can be elected to elder emeritus or deacon emeritus.
And so that's an election that takes place.
Yes.
To bestow that.
Yes.
Is that an honor?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Have that you also have recently, it looks like, been president of the Christian Women's Fellowship.
Yes.
That's an organization within the First Christian Church.
It's a women's.
What do they do?
We have many, many projects and give money to not only missions, but many organizations, quite a few in LaGrande, from CASA, Neighbor to Neighbor. We send to in Portland the help group. You better turn it off while I think about the Northwest Medical Team.
I see.
And we send to missions through our state and through the national organization, Christian Churches. But we just have many activities that we help with. We help at the Christian house they have at the college and also the one at the high school.
How do you raise money for these activities?
Well, we have our biggest project probably is our bazaar in November. We have articles we've made and things we've canned from all that for sale, plus a very big used store. Like a yard, big yard sale, and also the goodies that we've made, baked goods.
So the church has a used item store?
For the bazaar, yes.
At that time, so it's not an ongoing, it's
no.
Just at that time.
And then in the spring, we have, usually in May, have a rummage sale, and that's also a big used store of anything that people bring in, which is always huge.
Uh-huh.
All our church people.
Um,
but we have other activities too. Until this year, we've always had a booth at the fairgrounds for the county fair. This year we did not. The first year we haven't.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other activities too where we raise money.
Now, were you involved or were you around when the new church was built?
Yes, I was.
And do you know anything about this story, about those, about the cross beams or the...
Yes, I do.
What do you know about that?
Well, I moved in from Harvey Elmer's place. He's the one that had made them. And they had to get, the state police had to look the other way because it really wasn't legal. It was too large. But they had the electric company and telephone company to hold up the wires to get them out of the way so they could move them into the ground. It's quite a project.
So everybody participated to help the church.
The community was very good to help them get them moved.
And the state police were involved in the conspiracy to be quiet about it.
Uh-huh. Hold up the other way.
Uh-huh.
If I remember right, we had a policeman in our church family at that time. His name was Dave Grisendine. He was deceased now. But I think he probably had a hand in keeping it quiet because they were oversized.
How long did that take? Do you remember? Was that a one-day, two-day?
No, I'm sure it was a one-day thing.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Again, just in the valley.
And that was during the period when you said that they'd finally gotten serious about their building fund. This was Gene Robinson was the
mm-hmm.
pastor, the minister at that
yes.
time.
Mm-hmm. But this was the ones for the sanctuary, which was the second unit fully built.
Yeah. The education building was already there.
Already there.
Mm-hmm. So this was really an add-on to the church.
Yes.
Or maybe finishing the larger project.
Which had been planned in the first place, but we did it as we could afford to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I saw a picture when I was interviewing Mel Elder that was a group picture of the church, and it had Pastor Robinson in there. Were Were you in that picture too? It looked like it was maybe a congregational photograph.
I don't
photograph.
Know. It probably was, but I'd have to see it to know.
Yeah. I'd bring that by. And if I can. Well, you should ask them about it.
Okay.
When you see, because I bet you see him before I do.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I'll see
Sunday,
him Sunday.
But he had one, and that Gene Robinson was in it, and he identified some people that were in it. For some reason, he wasn't, but he had this photograph.
Mm-hmm.
I just mentioned that. Maybe I should have turned the tape off there. But here's an item. It appears to me that the congregation built the church rather than using contractors or hired labor.
We had
Is that
a
right?
contractor that worked with the church. Someone had to be in charge. So yes, we did have a contractor that worked with the church people, but a lot of the labor was donated
by the members of the church
yes.
itself.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And it says that your husband helped.
Yes, he did. Uh-huh. And my dad was chairman of the board, building committee chairman.
Your father was?
My dad, yes. Elmer Miller.
So did they both work on that?
Yes, they did. They both did.
Uh-huh.
Spent lots of hours there.
Did women help with the building or anything with the construction?
I'm sure they must have done some. I don't remember exactly.
Uh-huh.
I didn't do that much until I had small children.
I mean, you may have been working by the... No, that was before you went to work, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it? Okay, now I have some...
Could you turn it off just a moment?
Let's talk about your activities or your involvement next with the VFW, which apparently you've been involved with them for quite some time.
My husband joined in 1946 and I joined in 1947, the Ladies Auxiliary.
And what's the name of this VFW post?
Mount Emily, number 2990.
And did you hold office with the auxiliary?
Yes, I hold every office there is to hold, I think, including president locally and district president for 2 years.
What kinds of things were you involved in with the auxiliary?
Anything to do with the veterans. In any way, we sent money, raised money, and sent to the veterans' hospitals, and sent our items, especially at Christmas time. Sent books to the hospitals, clothing, whatever was needed, made Afghans and black robes.
Would these items go to local hospitals or VA hospitals? Or
they
both?
Were VA. VA hospitals mainly, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Our biggest one was Walla Walla and Boise because they were the two closest for us.
Did you make visits to these hospitals
too? We have visited the Walla Walla Hospital, but I think I've been to Boise Hospital once perhaps, is all.
What other kinds of activities were you involved in with them?
Well, we meet once a month and have a potluck dinner, which is a good social time, and do whatever needs to be done in our conducting our business. And
where is the Mount Emily Post located?
It's at 10 Depot Street, up of the
is?
10 Depot restaurant. We're upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
That is the building belongs to the Veterans Forum at Morris.
Now, are you considered a life member?
I have not taken out life membership.
So you just continue to renew your membership
mm-hmm.
from year to year?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
My husband was a life member.
Okay. Now, you were involved in some activities. You lived for a while in Union.
Yes.
What caused you to move to Union?
My husband was station man for the telephone company, West Coast Telephone Company at that time, later GTE.
And they needed somebody to be out in that area?
Yes. And he was on call all the time. We never had anyone out for dinner but what he was called out to work.
Uh-huh. I read here that you felt that the phone company owed you some wages because weren't
should
you
have,
person?
But I answered the phone all the time because uh-huh. they didn't call the office, they called the house.
They would just call direct to the house and say, we need you, Virgil.
Mm-hmm. He'd always go.
Uh-huh. See, we're out there until about 1960, I read.
Mm-hmm.
You have some VFW involvement. Was that the same post in Mount Emily, or did
no,
they have their own?
No, but it folded, and that's when we joined the one in Grand. It was after the one in Union. There didn't seem to be enough attendance, but now they have started a new one over there several years ago, and it is very active. So they do their new one. At that time, it was called Craig Mountain, but that's not the name of it now.
I read that you were involved with the women's club. What was that about?
It was just a group that got together and social activities more than anything, some community things.
Mm-hmm. How about this sportsman's club? Were you a member of that, or was that your husband?
We both were.
What was that about?
It was just a group that liked to hunt and fish and that kind of thing. We'd get together, and that was more social than anything else.
Let's see, you know some of the people we've been interviewing here. Obviously, we've easily talked about George Fleshman, your brother,
mm-hmm.
and all of that. And I believe you said you knew Erman Bates also.
Yes.
Now, I get confused about my geography. Was this out in the area where you were growing up? Where he was at, is that?
Well, I knew him mainly through his sister, Anna Meilenberg Brown.
I see.
She was a member of our church and was a close friend. It still is.
Two of your neighbors in Union were also interviewed, Opal Burford and Mamie Jones.
Yes.
Were you neighbors with them?
They didn't live very far from me, just a few blocks.
Did you have interactions with either of them over the years?
Yes, they were in some of the same things that I belong to.
Mm-hmm.
Mamie Jones' daughter, Jerry, graduated from high school with me in LeGrand.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. She was in my class.
Were you socializing with her? Did you?
Yes, some.
Uh-huh.
Not close friends, but we were
uh-huh.
together some.
Uh-huh.
Especially school activities.
Now, it wasn't really common around here to have people who were maybe obviously sort of...